Welcome to the Destination Begin podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Smith. I've lost over 250 pounds. I've started my life over multiple times and managed to find humor, lessons, and joy in the process. And now I'm here, sharing those stories with you. Thanks for joining me. Hi, hi. Welcome to the podcast. Happy last day of March. It is an entire quarter of the year is gone. Just FYI, the new year resolution situation, an entire quarter ago. Time flies, guys. This is what the problem is. We think that we have all of this time and then bam, it's the end of March. People are finishing with spring break and it's getting warm in some parts of the country and it's staying warm in others. So crazy. I hope that you will take a little moment to review all the awesome things that have happened to you in the first 3 months of the year. It's always a good time to reflect. I like to tell people, you know, set goals and stuff. But before you set goals, you should look back and reflect and see all the things you've already done. It's really, really good. Life here has been crazy busy. Lots of people leaving for this season. So people are coming to say goodbye and training with me for the last time. It's very sad. People are on spring break and it's just kind of a time of flux. Spring break here in Miami Beach, they did all this crackdown stuff. And so it was a lot quieter than in previous years. And then a lot of people left for spring break. So it's been a little nutty around here as far as just, everything kind of coming to a big head and then getting quiet. So I never go anywhere for spring break. I don't go down to South Beach, so I never really have seen it. But they say that this year, because they just shut everything down and they made it so you couldn't park on the streets and just made it very inhospitable to tourists, that apparently it kept people from shooting each other or something. So that's good. Life is great. This past week, I had a new experience, which I'm not a fan of, and I hope it never happens again. I had a migraine headache that was about 11 billion times worse than any migraine headache I've ever had. And I've had a lot of migraines in my life. I don't get them very often anymore, maybe a couple of times a year. But I used to get them about every day. Back in 2001, I think it was, 2001, 2003, it might have been 2003, I was sitting at a stoplight in a little Ford Taurus, crappy little car. I had just gone to school. I had just started going back to school. I was going to pick my son up from the babysitter, and this guy in a pickup truck with a big trailer full of lawnscaping equipment on it slammed into my rear bumper. So I got rear-ended at a stoplight. And it was such a massive whiplash. It was awful. I will never forget how sore the front of my neck was from having whipped so hard. It was awful. And I started going to the chiropractor right away because my neck was so sore. And I'm a big believer in chiropractic care. It's just been a lifesaver for me. But ultimately, I started to get migraine headaches just about every single day after that accident. I would just get a headache. It would get worse and worse. I would end up nauseated, needing to throw up most days because I had such bad headaches. And so I continued going to the chiropractor. I would go 2 to 3 times a week. It was about 3 years until those headaches went away. But I don't even know what I would have done if I hadn't had the opportunity to have those adjustments. The chiropractor did soft tissue healing with ultrasound, a lot of heat therapy, and then adjustments. So so after about 3 years of that, I didn't have headaches anymore. And I rarely have a headache. But once in a while, I will sleep wrong or I'll pull my neck. And that neck of mine will result in a migraine. And so Friday morning, got up, did boot camp, came back in the house, took a shower. And as I was getting dressed, I realized I couldn't see out of my right peripheral vision, which is always the first indication to me that I'm about to get a doozy of a migraine. I lose that vision. It's called an aura migraine. And I didn't have a headache yet, but I knew it was coming. I thought, oh crap. And it was terrible because I couldn't see. I couldn't see to put my makeup on. I couldn't see hardly anything. And so I managed to kind of get ready. And I thought, all right, I have clients until 2 o'clock. And then I can, then I'll be able to just lay down and go into a dark room and sleep it through. So Roy helped me go bring all the stuff to the park to train the ladies I train in the park. And I could only see out of one eye. But I started to get a little nauseated and I started to get a headache right away. It was really tough to concentrate. And then I was having a hard time with words. I was tripping over words. It was really weird. But I'm like, all right, I've got a few more clients. Just got to get through this. So I had taken some ibuprofen and then I went to go train. I don't really remember the day that much. I just went from client to client and I was getting more and more uncomfortable. My head was starting to hurt more and more and more. And finally, as I was walking back to the house, it's about a 15-minute walk from my furthest client, I was sending my friend Amanda a Marco Polo video message to kind of try to keep my attention because I was feeling like I was gonna like pass out or something from this headache. So I was just started talking and I couldn't get words out. And I don't remember much of talking to her. I don't remember coming in the house. I lay down for a few minutes and then I had to do a virtual training with a client on video and I had luckily written out the workout. So all I just kind of had to do was to tell him what to do. And then I went and lay down and my head was starting to hurt so bad. Oh my God, I was dying. And I had one more call and it was my really good friend and client, Diana. And I couldn't hardly talk. And I don't really remember talking to her. I told her I had headache. She was really nice. And then I don't know. But the rest of the day, for about 8 hours, I was in agony. I don't even know what words would adequately express the pain in my head. I thought my head was going to pop. I couldn't speak. I couldn't form words. I couldn't think. My head hurt so bad and I couldn't take anything else because I was so nauseated. And Roy kept trying to get me to take more ibuprofen and I couldn't. I'm like, I can't do it. I'll throw up. And I didn't want to throw up on top of everything. And so I put an eye shade, I put an eye mask on, put on some soothing music, and I was just like going in and out of sleep. This was 10 out of 10. The worst pain that I've ever had in my life up until Friday was when I had a tummy tuck. That was a level of pain that I don't like to talk about. This was worse. And I don't know why. I slept on my stomach Thursday night and I think I must have pinched something in my neck. But Roy was my hero. He just kept coming in the room when I would wake up. I couldn't even yell. I would just grab my phone and like bang letters and then send so he would know in the other room to come in. And the only thing that made me feel a little bit okay to where I could calm down, he would just stroke between my eyes, like my nose, the bridge of my nose up between my eyes. And it would soothe me a little bit. And I got through the day. Sleeping, waking up, sleeping. I had a hair appointment. That was why my day actually had some time off in it, is because I was supposed to get my hair done, my blonde, my trailer trash, dark roots, blonded. And I felt terrible to cancel. I schedule with him every 10 weeks. So I've been on his schedule for 10 weeks, and it was an hour before when I realized, like, came kind of like, oh, I gotta let him know, canceling on him, which is, it's the rudest thing in the entire world. So I sent him some money. I felt so bad. But I was trying to think of his name. I couldn't think of his name. I know this guy. I've known him since I've lived here. He does my hair every 10 weeks. It's amazing. His name is Antonio. In the moment, I couldn't remember one single thing. Roy didn't know his name. No idea. So I like grabbed my phone and I was kind of looking at it, trying to find, just see if his name would pop up as I scrolled through. I couldn't come up with it. So finally I thought, oh, I'll go in my Zelle because I pay him with Zelle. And there he was, Antonio. Anyway, it was gnarly. And so about 8 o'clock, I woke up And Roy had gotten some Excedrin migraine, and my stomach had calmed down enough to where I was able to take a bunch of those. And then I got some relief. But I swear to you, it was the longest day. Anyway, so I was still not able to, I was trying to say saltines to Roy. I couldn't say the word saltine. It wasn't coming out. I couldn't figure out how to say it. That was how it was all night until I finally slept again. And then I was able to go to the chiropractor yesterday morning, and my neck was so jammed, like so jammed. He did a whole bunch of therapy to get everything nice and loose and then adjusted it. And I felt this like, I felt this burst of, I don't know what it was. It was not comfortable, but something kind of released into my head, and it was like a head rush. And I've had a mild headache. I haven't completely gotten rid of the headache yet. It's about a 1 out of 10 now today. Yesterday it was about a 4. Today it's just a glimmer. But it was a nutty. It was not fun. Why am I telling you this? I don't know. It's just what happened in my life. I'm grateful that that's over. That was terrible. There are people who have migraines like that every day or a lot. I don't know how you do it. I wanted to die. I didn't know what to do. I was so scared too. I thought maybe I was having a seizure or a stroke because I couldn't talk and I couldn't form words and I couldn't put thoughts together. I knew like ideas, but I couldn't put words together, and it was freaking me out. So anyway, I lived. What else is going on? Oh, today I worked at the Carillon. I worked there on Sundays, and I teach the rock wall class, which I've talked about here before, but it's this big rock climbing wall. And my job is to, harness in, people who want to climb, harness them in and put helmets on and like kind of show them how to climb up the wall and just coach them and stuff. And it's really fun. And mostly it's kids. And today there was a family here from London, and there were these three little kids. They were 10 and 6 and 5. And they were Margot and Ralph and Amelie. And they were the cutest freaking things I've ever seen. And they had British accents. I can't pretend to imitate them. I would butcher it. But Ralph, who names their kid Ralph? The greatest people in the world do. Ralph, he was so cute. He was a little redhead. Ralph and Margot were little gingers. The cutest. I could barely handle my life. I was like, why are they so cute? And the oldest girl was climbing, and she got all the way up to the top. And Margot, who's 5, she's like, Amelie's crazy. And like, she just kept saying she was crazy. I was dying. I'm like, stop talking. You're so cute. Oh my God. And then later I saw them walking to the beach, and little Margot has a little swimsuit on. She's cute. Oh my gosh. I couldn't stand it. It's my job. I get paid to be around cute kids. So most of the time they're cute. Well, actually the kids are always cute. Sometimes the parents maybe not so cute. Anyway, I'm going to Minnesota on Tuesday. I'm so excited. I decided that I wanted to go and to see my brother for his birthday. Nothing is ever about my brother. My sister and I, we got married young. We scandalized our parents. Then we had kids, and ooh, we have the grandkids. And then we got divorces, and then we got remarried. And then we got divorced again. And then we both got remarried. And then there's stepkids, and there's always something going on, my sister and I, you know. And my brother's like, hi, I'm just steady. Don't cause any problems. Just here. What do you need? I got you. He's steady Eddie. He is amazing. He does everything in the entire world he possibly can for our parents and for my sister and I. He's long-suffering. He just goes along with stuff because, you know, we have the kids and the husbands and all this like stuff, and he's just one person. So, oh, Alan, you can just deal with it. So he gets that all the time. So I'm like, you know what? It's Alan's birthday on the 3rd. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to go see my brother on his birthday. I wanted to surprise him for his birthday, but then that would have sucked because he would have had to go to work and then been like, hi, I'm here, bye. So I had to tell him I was coming. He tried to talk me out of it because it wasn't sensible. I don't care. Sensible schmensible, you know? This is life. My brother's turning 53. He's an old fart. I'm so much younger than him. He's 53. It's weird because he doesn't look 53. I don't know what he looks like, but, you know, he's always just going to look like my teenage older brother. Anyway, so I'm excited. It's a really fast trip. I'm going to come home exhausted, but I don't care. It's going to be fun. So I'm really looking forward to that. So in the meantime, I'm just trying to get a bunch of stuff done before I go, which I probably won't get it all done, but whatever, I'll try. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, yeah, I think that's about it. That's about what's new here. Ray started working. He works at the restaurant at the Carillon where I work. So now we both work at the same place again. He used to work there at the beach bar, the Cabana bar. And then he quit there last fall. And now he works at the indoor restaurant, the classy restaurant, where they have things that are really expensive, even if they're not that exciting. Like today they had Easter brunch and they had an Easter menu. And basically it was just regular things, but they named them all Eastery things, like Cadbury pancakes. They were chocolate chip pancakes, okay? But, ooh, Cadbury pancakes, what's that? Ooh, buttermilk pancakes with chocolate chips and Easter bunny sprinkles. You mean powdered sugar? You mean powdered sugar, don't you? Anyway, he's working there. So it's really fun because now when I go teach classes, when I'm done, I can go spy on him and see who's hitting on him. Because it happens a lot. Because he's a snack. I told the other guy there today, he said something about getting married. And I said, I don't know, I married for looks. I didn't, but I kind of did. I'm very attracted to my husband, which is very nice. Oh, speaking of attractive, I talked about this on my Instagram story. I'm going to talk about it here because it's my podcast. So I am a trainer. You know this. I'm a trainer. And I my rate is $100 an hour. So if someone wants me to come and train them one time, it's $100. I got to get there. I got to get back. You know, I have to allow probably like an hour and 20 minutes. So $100 an hour covers travel time. So that's a lot. But I have clients who they want to train with me more than once a week. So if I know they're training with me and they are going to be consistent, I cut them a deal. So I have packages. So most of my packages are, you know, probably $70 a session. So much, much cheaper. But, you know, they buy a package. So this is how we do it. It's very rare that I train anybody for my full rate because most people want a package and they want to train regularly. Well, I was training one of my clients in a building down the street. And this older guy said, hey, I need a trainer. Do you train? I'm like, I want to be like, duh. Anyway, I didn't. I said, yes, of course I do. So I gave him my number. So he wanted me to come the next day. He said, I want you to watch what I'm doing and then kind of give me tips or tricks or form and just let me know if there's anything I'm doing wrong I should be doing. I said, sure. So I showed up. He was very nice. 70 years old. He's in decent shape for 70, that's for sure. But he's showing me all of his routines. And here's the deal. This happens a lot with, how shall I say, old guys. They get to a point where they're good at something and they double down on it and they get really excited. So this dude had really good biceps and triceps and he loved every single day he worked his biceps and triceps. Never had leg day, didn't do much for chest or back. And so he had this really big belly, and I'm not being a jerk. This is just the way it was. Really big belly, very small legs, and then giant biceps and triceps. And so I watched his form. I gave him a few tips. And then I said, you know, what else do you do? And he's like, well, this is my routine. I said, this is great, but it's not complete. You really need to be working all of your muscles at least once a week. So he's like, okay, we'll come back tomorrow and we'll work on some other things. So he's like, what's your rate? I said, 100 an hour. No problem. Didn't bat an eye. This is great. You know, I'm not an independently wealthy person. So $100 an hour, this is great. My full rate. So I didn't offer him a discount or a package because he wasn't balking. So I came back the next day. We did another workout. I showed him some other things. He really didn't want to be embarrassed. Like he didn't want to do anything he wasn't good at. But, you know, as we're lifting, he's talking. He's very lonely. He's recently divorced. He's dating a girl half his age in Spain. He's just talking, talking, talking. And that's normal. A lot of my clients love to talk. I love to talk with my clients. It's, you know, it's like kind of like therapy. But I could tell he was just relatively lonely. He doesn't have anyone really to chat with. So, and he was very fascinated with my story of coming from Minnesota. And he kept saying, why are you so nice? You're so genuine. It's so rare. And, you know, he was saying things like that. Well, I trained with him 4 days that week. And every day he got more and more friendly and more complimentary. And I had told him one day that I wanted him to work on standing on one foot, because as we age, all of us, whether you're 10 or 75, we need to be standing on one foot. We need to be challenging our balance. So I always say, when you're brushing your teeth, pick a foot up, stand on one foot. When you're waiting for the microwave, pick a foot up, stand on one foot. For a few seconds at a time, you don't need to go put your foot over your head, but we need to be challenging our balance systems. Good balance as you age means independence. Independence. So I told him this, I need you to start practicing standing on one foot. He could not stand on one foot for more than 10 seconds. So make this as your homework. I said, I'm going to check up on you. And so I texted him later in the day, are you standing on one foot? This was the problem. This was the opening. Yes, I'm standing on one foot and I'm ordering pizza. Do you like pizza? I'm like, yeah, sure, I like pizza. And here we go. So he's texting me. Then he texts me something like, I have beautiful eyes. I'm like, what? Then he texts me, or then the next time I trained him, he said he was going to go get Chinese food for dinner at P.F. Chang. And I was like, oh my gosh, I remember P.F. Chang. I haven't eaten at a P.F. Chang in so long. That sounds so good. So that night, hey, I was wondering if you, we should go to, after our training next time, we should go to dinner. We should go to P.F. Chang. And I'm like, and Roy had told me that this was going to happen. He's like, this guy is going to ask you out. I said, no, he knows I'm married. I talk about you all the time. He's got a girlfriend. He's like, no, you just mark my words. He's a dude. So sure enough, he asked me to go to dinner. And I said, my husband would not be very happy about that. And he said, oh, what? We're professionals. Nothing would happen. And I ignored it. And I was kind of pissed. So the next time I was supposed to train him, he canceled. He said he was up all night. He was breaking up with his girlfriend. He was really sad. And then he said, oh, but I miss you. I ignored it. But the next day that I was supposed to go train him, I was walking to go train him. And he had sent a whole bunch of other texts about how he couldn't hold back his feelings for me. And he didn't know what was happening. And it was so awkward. And I intended to show up and say, listen, you can't talk to me like that. I'm your trainer. You need to keep it professional. But as I was walking down the street, I was sending a video message to my friend Courtney, and I'm like, I'm going to train this guy, and he makes me feel really uncomfortable, and he's flirted with me, and it makes me mad because now I have to say something about this, and it's so awkward, and it's not fair, and it really pisses me off. And as I was saying that, I stopped walking. Like, my body stopped going. I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going. So I hung up with her and I sent him a text. I said, I'm really sorry. Or no, I didn't say I'm sorry. I made sure I didn't say I was sorry. I said, I'm really uncomfortable with how you've made me feel, the way that you've expressed your feelings. I think you need to find a different trainer. And I turned around and went home. And he replied a bunch of times like, oh no, don't do that. I'm so sorry. I won't be able to find a better trainer. I'll stop. I didn't respond and I'm done. And he stopped responding to me. But I went home, and Roy was home. I just started bawling. I just started sobbing, and I couldn't figure out why. Cause like, he didn't touch me. He didn't hurt me. He didn't, but there was just something so frustrating about the whole thing, where it was like, I am a woman. Yes, but I'm a professional. I've treated you with professional courtesy. I have not crossed any lines. Just because I'm a woman and you happen to be attracted to my personality because I'm nice does not give you the right, especially me as a married woman, to say things like that to me. It's not okay. And you feeling like you can do that puts me in a position where I have to acknowledge something very uncomfortable. F you. Screw you. You are a rude, inconsiderate D-bag. I mean, I don't think he is a D-bag. I think he's behaving as a D-bag. Anyway, but I was sobbing and I was so kind of surprised at that response from my little nervous system. Because he didn't hurt me. He didn't touch me. He didn't leer at me. He didn't make a pass at me, but he crossed the line and it made me feel terrible. I don't know. It made me feel like a piece of meat and it made me mad. And I really don't like that I missed out on the income. So that really sucked. But I do not need to make money so badly that I can go stand in a space for $100 to be made to feel like I have to be on the defensive. If a woman says she is happily, I told him, I said, I am a happily married newlywed. The fact that he said anything after that is disgusting. I'm so mad. Anyway, that's my story. I haven't had to deal with that. I have never had any clients here ever treat me with anything but respect. I don't have many male clients. I haven't had many male clients. But the ones that I do, they've treated me like a queen. So I've never, ever had to think about it. And that's how it should be. We should all be treating each other as like royalty. And when you're exchanging your time for a service in a luxury way, you know, I'm not like saving lives and giving them medicine, right? I'm training their bodies. We should all be treating each other with such decorum. So anyway, there's my story. Wasn't that exciting? Story time with Kristen. This week too, I got to do some really fun riding of my moped. We got a moped last summer and I was so scared to drive it that I never did. In fact, the license tabs on it expired before I drove it. I have new ones now. But I took a new client in Midtown, which I have never taken a client off the beach before. A long time ago I did. And so I have to take the moped and it's a 40-minute moped ride and there and then back. And so it's a terrible use of my time and money because I did sell her a package. So I'm getting my lower rate and I'm gone for 3 hours. But the reason why it's a good idea is I get off the beach and I get to go somewhere and I get to be in the sunshine and I get to ride my cute little turquoise moped with my pink helmet. And I get to take the Venetian Causeway and I take all the bike lanes because I'm a chicken. And my moped only goes, I mean, it goes to 50, but it's supposed to only go to 30. It's just a 49cc moped. But it is so much fun now that I'm used to it. I have a little speaker so I can play music loud so I can still hear it when I'm wearing my helmet. And it's so much fun. And so once a week, I get to take my moped over to Midtown and train a client and then come home. And it's so much fun. And so I'm loving the moped. I want us to get another one so we can go on moped rides together. We could technically fit on the moped together, but it's a little too cramped. And I am a control freak and I don't want to ride on a moped with Roy. Anyway, one last note. If you are interested in going to Colorado on our retreat, so Roy and I are co-leading a self-love yoga and hiking retreat in Colorado. It is over Memorial Day weekend. And so it's an amazing experience. There's 28 people going. And so Roy and me and this woman, Jessica, she's our yoga instructor that we used here for our yoga classes. She's phenomenal. She's been leading yoga retreats around the world for years. So she's really experienced. And so she invited us to come and facilitate a retreat with her. So it is Thursday, May 23rd. Through Monday, May 27th. And we have two spots available that are for women in a shared cabin. So you'd have a bunk bed and a shared cabin for the trip. It's $555 for the trip, plus your airfare. It's a steal because we have these two spots that opened up. They are in a shared cabin, so a little bit less privacy. So if you are a woman and you want to come on this retreat, we're going to be hiking the Manitou Incline. We're going to go to Garden of the Gods. We're going to be hiking in Estes Park. We're going to have hot spring baths. We're going to have amazing meals. We're going to go to the Garden of the Gods, Red Rocks. Did I already say that? It's going to be amazing. And I'll be running some self-love workshops. And Jessica will be leading yoga. We'll be doing some boot camps. It is going to be a phenomenal holiday weekend. So if you're interested, I need you to email me, Kristen@kristensmithonline.com. And there's only two spots and they're going to go really, really fast. If you'd like to go to Costa Rica with us, we are leading a Costa Rica heart activation retreat. So this is going to be a little bit more relaxation. We're going to be doing animal flow yoga, regular yoga, I'm going to be running boot camps. We're going to be doing catamaran ride. We're going to be doing horseback riding, meditation, and then 3 meals a day of organic, amazing local foods. Where we're going in Costa Rica is one of the blue zones. And so it's going to be phenomenal. That is going to be August 13th through the 18th. There's still time to sign up. You can do a deposit and then pay monthly until we go. So just wanted to throw that in there in case you want to retreat with us. You should totally come with us. This is a great way to vacation with your friends, vacation with us, get away and learn while you're traveling. So it's not just a sightseeing trip. This is relax, let someone else handle all the details, and then open your heart to learn and receive and fill your cup. That is the whole point of these experiences, which I'm so excited for those who've come. The Colorado trip, 28 people are gonna come back from that trip with their lives blown wide open. I'm so excited. So if you wanna get in on that or get in on that in Costa Rica, don't wait. I've got a little rundown of the most important things that I would love for all of the listeners of my podcast to take from my podcast. I've been working on writing some speeches because my goal is to travel and speak and to use my story to change people's lives and to wake people up to what's possible in their lives. And so when I kind of write down to do some brainstorming and outlining, I think about, okay, what are the most important things that I want to get out there? What are the things I want to convey to people? What do I think is the most important message that I am here to give? And so I put some of that together in some notes, and I thought, you know, I'm going to do that today on the podcast. So I'm just going to go through some of these. And I hope that you will be inspired and challenged and encouraged, because you guys, we are here for such a short time. We don't know how long we have. We don't know anything except what we're experiencing right now. And we waste so much time. I waste so much time. And I don't want to do that. And I'm so grateful for the people and the places and the messages that have come along my way that have moved me to where I am from where I used to be. And then I look where I am now and say, I am not where I want to be. And I am constantly looking for more motivation, more truth, more propelling forward into more. I want more. And I hope that you want more. So here are some of my most, the most important things that I want you to hear from me. Number one, you are valuable in the mud. What does that mean? It means that you don't have to fix yourself to be seen as lovable by you. You don't have to make progress to respect yourself. Now, it's easier to respect yourself when you do respectable things. But when Shannon Dane spoke life into my world, I was in the mud. And she saw value in me. I walked into my classroom, 400 pounds, buried in shame, buried in belief that I was never going to get out, belief that I was stupid and that I was worthless. I was stuck. I was ugly. I was not lovable. I believed all of that. But Shannon saw something and she complimented me. And in that moment, I felt the truth that I was valuable right where I was. And she was right. I was so valuable. I was a spectacular, beautiful, bright ray of God. And I didn't know it. I didn't feel it. I didn't see it. Certainly didn't let anybody else notice it or try to let anybody notice it. I didn't know. For some reason, Shannon saw goodness in me that day and she spoke it. You don't have to fix anything to be valuable because you are valuable in the mud. If your life is falling apart, if your life is difficult, if you make 10 mistakes for every correct decision you make and you feel like you live in the mud, you are valuable in the mud. Let that soak in. You are valuable right where you are. You don't have to get out of the mud in order to be seen as lovable by you and by those who love you. Number two, your life does not have to stay the same for one more day. Just because you're lovable in the mud doesn't mean you have to stay there for one more day. You don't have to wait till Monday. You don't have to wait till the first. You can do something today. When Shannon called me out and said something wonderful to me, the very next day, I changed. I looked in my closet. What did I change? I changed how I dressed. I didn't go on a diet. I didn't do an exercise class. But I wanted to put something on my body that reflected more closely what I wanted to look like. I wanted to look better. The day before, I was just hiding under clothes. I didn't care. But Shannon made me feel good for a moment, and I wanted to feel good all day long. And so I didn't wait. I didn't go buy new clothes. I didn't go on a diet. I didn't wait until I lost a whole bunch of weight. I started that very next day to put a little bit more work into how I looked. And that might seem superficial. Like, what? No, it changed how I looked at myself. I was able to look at myself with a little more respect. Your life does not have to stay the same for one more day. You can change something today that makes it easier for you to look yourself in the eye with respect. If you're slacking on something, can you pick up the slack 1% so you can look yourself in the eye and say, I have improved today. I did not stay where I was yesterday. I moved 1 degree, 1 little bit. That momentum compounded is what in a year people say, wow, how did you do it? This is how it happens. With one decision, one little step. Your life does not have to stay the same for one more day. So do not wait. Improve something. Even if it's just straightening up your side table drawer. This morning or yesterday morning, I cleaned out my bathroom top junk drawer because it was disgusting. And I was like, you know what? I don't have time today to change everything about my environment. I don't have time to organize this bathroom. I don't have time to scrub this floor. I have 5 minutes. I can make this better. I chose that my bathroom was not going to stay the same for one more day. And that is the kind of intention that we can bring to our lives. It's not easy, but it doesn't have to be so complicated. Your life does not have to stay the same for one more day. Don't wait till Monday. Don't wait till the first. Today, take one step and move. Number three, your can't is a lie to keep you small. I'm going to say that again. Your can't is a lie to keep you small. We use the word can't all the time because we don't want to, or because we're afraid of standing out, or because we don't think that we're the person who should be able to do that thing. Our can't is a lie to keep you small. When I lost a lot of weight, I was down to like, yeah, right around 200 pounds. And I definitely looked better than I did when I was 400 pounds. And I stayed, yeah, right around 200 pounds. I was around 40% body fat. I had a lot of body fat. I was really saggy. I was really soft. I had been running. I wasn't running very fast. But nobody would blame me because I wasn't 400 pounds anymore. I wasn't 300 pounds anymore. And so I was happy at around 200 pounds. It's where my body kind of settled. I started to gain a little bit of weight, and I started in with these ideas of like, well, I can't get any thinner. This is as small as I can get. I've never been thinner than this. I have no idea. Even when I was 14, I was 200 pounds. I can't be any thinner than this. I can't be any fitter than this. I've hurt my metabolism. I didn't want to do the next level of work to get me past that level. And that's okay. But that can't was a lie, and it kept me small. It kept me from actually working on my nutrition. I was eating junk again. I was filling up on potato chips and slider foods, and I wasn't getting good protein. I was running, but I was just running kind of slow. I used can't as a reason why I didn't have to. I can't. I can't run faster. I'm, you know, I was 400 pounds. My joints are tired. Our can't is a lie. It's a lie. I could. I just didn't want to. I could. I just didn't know how. I could. I just hadn't leveled my own commitment up. Your can't. Take a look at your can't. What is it keeping you from? Now, you don't ever have to surpass certain levels in life. Like, I didn't ever have to get under 200 pounds to be pretty healthy. But 40% body fat at that size, that was not a very healthy physique. I had a lot of fat, a lot of brown visceral fat. I had not actually finished getting my body to be healthy. It wasn't until there was the 8-week F45 challenge. And I was right around 196 pounds. It was the winter of 2018, I think. And they had an 8-week challenge at my F45 gym. And I'd never done anything like that before. It was a full meal plan. And then you worked out every day and I decided to do it. And so I started it and it was tough. I mean, it was really, really tough. It was the most strict diet I'd ever been on, but it was all real food. It was all whole, real food. There was very little carbohydrates. It was all meat and veggies. It was very filling. And I started doing it and I started to drop weight. And all of a sudden, I was passing numbers on the scale that I never thought that I would ever pass. And throughout that challenge, I think it was 8 weeks, I lost like 18 pounds. And that was insane. I never thought that I could ever get to that weight, but I never tried. I really believed that I couldn't. But really what it was is I wasn't willing. I had to buckle down and discipline and push and be completely and totally sold out to the process for 8 weeks to get my fitness level to bump to that next level. I dropped body fat. I got so much faster on running. I got in so much better shape in 8 weeks. My can't would have kept me where I was before, which was not ideal. Now, it wasn't terrible. I was still a lot healthier than I used to be. But take a look at your can'ts. Our can'ts keep us stuck and they keep us small. Especially when we're tired and we have a long way to go, it's just easier to say I can't instead of saying, oh, well, I could, but it would take a long time. Like, you know, from 200 pounds down to 160 pounds, about 40 pounds, it took me about 10 years of working and honing and lifting and, you know, like doing all kinds of different things to really get down to an actual healthy body fat percentage. So anyway, your can't is a lie that keeps you small. So examine your can't. Maybe it's not a can't. Maybe it's just a I don't wanna. Which also, you know, it's up to you. Number four, time passes. This is one of the loudest things I say is time passes anyway. People don't like to do things that take a long time because it takes too long. What else do you have to do? Time is gonna pass anyway. It's better to take one step a day for 365 days than no steps because one step is not enough. It's the basic logic, and I know it's hard because we look and we don't see progress. But if you can get your eyes off of the minutia and understand time passes anyway, you're either moving forward or you're swirling. But you're never just staying still. You're either making progress or you're swirling or you're going backwards. Your boat will not reach your destination without a direction. So even if you're paddling really slowly, paddle. How do you want to spend your energy? Do you want to like tread water and stay stuck? Or do you want to actually use that energy to go somewhere? Time passes anyway. You may as well do a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit so that you get there. These things take a lot of time. When you got a degree, I always love this analogy. If you got a 4-year degree, it took a really long time. You read one page at a time. You answered one discussion question. You wrote one paper. And just by itself, it's certainly a college degree did not make. But you put all of that together and pretty soon you get to walk across that stage and get a piece of paper that says you have mastered the topic of accounting. You are now proficient in this skill. And it happened one day, one test, one page, one question, one idea at a time, one math problem at a time. Time passes anyway. why not go after something, even if it's a little bit at a time? I love, love, love when there's like a, hey, we just approved this spending bill. We're going to build this really great big infrastructure of all these really cool Metro Mover light rail cars, and it'll be ready in 20 years. People are like, oh. And then people like me don't pay any attention. I'm like, that'll never get done. It's 20 years. And then all of a sudden one day they're like, hey, grand opening for the Metro Mover. You're like, what? How did that happen? That was 20 years in the making. I stopped looking at it and it was getting done while I wasn't paying attention. And now here it is. That's how we can be in our lives. Pick something, make the work continual, but maybe so gradual that it doesn't really take a lot of effort and it doesn't cost you a whole lot. And over time, you'll look back and say, whoa, I built a big thing. When I did my bodybuilding competitions, I started almost an entire year before my stage date. And every single day that I went and lifted weights, upright row, overhead press, oh my God, I worked my shoulders like crazy. After I don't know how many months, all of a sudden there is no fat there and there's all this muscle there. It's like, how did that happen? A little bit at a time over many, 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 many inputs. Number five. The limiting ideas that you believe came from someone else and you bought into them. Now, this one might be like, you might argue with this, but I believe that everybody that has limiting ideas, they came from somewhere else. Because when you're a baby, you're like, I'm fearless. I can do that. Give me that. I want that chair. I'm going to pick that up. When you're little, you don't know your limits. And at some point, when we have limits in what we think is possible for ourselves, it's usually because somebody spoke it to us. Somebody said, don't do that. Be quiet. Stay small. You can't. You're not smart enough, or they're smart. You're not. Somebody put an idea out there that you bought into. For me, it was the idea of God. Like, that was the biggest limiting thing for me. You know, our religion and our church was this skewed idea that, you know, it's not enough that you say, oh God, I've sinned, forgive me, come into my heart, I'm going to go to heaven. It was, you have to do that, but you're also called and chosen, and if you don't do things right, you're not going to make it into the bride of Christ, and therefore you're going to have this horrible punishment. So I had always had this idea that I was never going to make it. And that was a big thing in our church, was people would pray like, please God, let me make it. And there was this begging and this pleading of, I want to make it, but nobody knows if they're going to make it. And so for me growing up, there was this sense of futility of like, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to be good enough. I can't do that. I'm never going to be good enough. That's not possible. That limiting belief about me, that God's looking at me with judgment and disdain, and that he cannot even look at me because I'm so sinful, that idea was a lie. If you have an idea about yourself that God, whatever you believe God to look like, is looking at you with disdain and he can't look at you because you're disgusting and covered in sin, it's a lie. It's a lie. And if somebody, if you had a dad who looked at you and said you weren't beautiful or you were too fat, it's a lie. It's a lie. And when we believe those lies that we heard way back when, it limits us. And it puts pain in us. And I'm going to beg you to defy the lies. The lies about who you are and what you can get will keep you stuck. They will limit you. They came from someone else. They never would have come from your soul. Your soul is limitless. Your soul has no idea what the word impossible is. If your soul wants something, it delights in getting it. It's so hard. I have a really good friend who, she told me that her dad, when she was little, would buy her clothes and they were way too small for her. He didn't do it on purpose. He just didn't know what size she would wear. But that idea of, my dad bought me clothes that are too small for me, made her feel from a young age that she was too big. And she wasn't too big. But that idea followed her until right today now. She's always thinking that she is too big, that she is unacceptable. She is too big because when she was a child, her dad bought her clothes that were too small. It's these ideas, they come from someone else and they're not true. She wasn't too big. She's not too big. And so letting go of that idea for her has freed her to be able to say, I'm exactly the size that I need to be. It doesn't matter what size clothing anybody else has. The clothing that fits me is the perfect clothing for me. I am not too big. These ideas, they start when we're really young. The limiting ideas you believe came from someone else. When we buy into these things, sometimes it's just because it's easier than fighting back. But remember times in your life when you did fight back. I remember when my ex-husband would tell me that I was stupid. I would argue him. Like, I'm not stupid. I just don't know a lot of things because I was homeschooled. And he would fight. He's like, no, you're stupid. You didn't know that Alaska was connected to Canada. I'm like, okay, I guess you're right about that. And we would fight. But I would argue. I would always try so hard to argue because I really believed that I wasn't stupid. But he could beat me down and be like, okay, fine, I'm stupid. Like, I just wanted the fight to be over. But there was a part of me that would fight back. And eventually, I learned to believe that part, to be like, absolutely not, I'm not stupid. I am not stupid. I may be naive, but I am not stupid. And I never let him or anybody else tell me I was stupid again. So there are times when we can fight back. So think about the times when you fight back, when you have fought back. Those moments, grab them. Use that as your proof to defy every other limiting belief that you do believe about yourself. Find a way to just defeat it. There is nothing you can't do. Now, there might be things you don't want to do, but there's nothing you can't do if you decide to do it. I promise you. I'm telling that to myself too. Number six, here is a really important truth. Make yourself proud. Everything you do is for you. If you make yourself proud, everything falls into place. My very first business mentor told me that when I moved here and I was so upset thinking, like, what if my family's never proud of me, of what I've built down here? And he said to me, do you make yourself proud? I said, yes, I do. He said, there you go. And I stopped worrying about making my family proud, and I worried about making myself prouder, making the people that I serve happy, knowing that I was creating goodness. And when I focused on that, guess what happened? The people that love me saw, and they were proud of me. When you make yourself proud, you don't care what other people think, because the number one person who sees you is you. And you know when you're up to snuff and when you're not. You know what excellence is and what it is not. So strive every day to make yourself proud. No one else's opinion matters as much as your own. And if you're making yourself proud, the rest will line up. They may not line up immediately. They may not know. But if you know that you're showing up well for you, time will take care of the rest. Everything you do is for you, by you. You decide, you take the pen, you write the story from here on out. No one else can write your story. No one else can make you do anything. And you're the one reading the story. This is your story. This is your life. Number seven, no one is coming to save you because you don't need saving. I have a friend who says this all the time, like, no one's coming to save me, so I got to do it myself. And I'm like, No one is coming to save you because you don't need saving. You are sitting here with a boat, an oar, a life jacket, a map, and lots of energy. You basically ate 10 donuts. You've got energy. So get in the boat, buckle up, find your bearings, and start paddling. No one is coming to save you because you don't need saving. You are sitting on the ocean in a boat with everything that you need. You do not need to look around for a savior. You have everything that you need. And if it doesn't feel like it right now, look around. Take a moment. What do you find? Do you find one thing that you can use to right your ship, to move forward, to make yourself feel good in this moment, to meet a need? Look around. Find the thing. When you find it, use it. Then look around again. I promise you, there are billions of stories of people who've had no one, no resources, no people, no money, nothing. And they have managed to build everything that they needed in this life because they understood that no one was coming to save them, that they already had everything they needed to do it themselves. Brains, resources, ideas, anything and something. You have a boat an oar, a life jacket, a map, energy. Buckle up. Buckle up. Number 8, what do you want? This is the most important question that we can ask and answer as humans. What do you want? Nobody can answer that for you. What do you want? I've answered that question so many times, gotten different answers, and run with it. And it's taken me to lots of places. And I know that you could tell me those stories too, where you've thought of something that you wanted, you went after it, you got it, and it was the greatest thing that you'd ever done. Dream again. What do you want? Why do you want it? The reason the answer just popped up is because your soul is alive and wants more, more, more than the limits you've given it. And the limits that started way back when. Your soul is limitless. Your soul is itching to explode out into full charge living. There is no do-over. There's no round two that we know of. So what do you want? You are worthy of the greatest, most beautiful life possible. And if you've made mistakes in your journey like I have, there's redemption. One thought, one idea, one right step at a time. You matter. You are worthy. Everything everyone else said about you that made you feel small was wrong. You can make yourself proud. You are valuable in the mud. Your life does not have to stay the same for one more day. Time passes anyway. What are you going to do with your time? You are worth investing in. I hope that you will think about, what do you want? I hope you'll get bold and brave and strong and powerful to get in your boat and head in the direction of every single thing that you want. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I'm so excited you're here. If you want to interact with me, go ahead and send me an email, Kristen@KristensmithOnline.com. Follow me on Instagram, The Kristen Experience, and make sure you share this podcast with a friend. That's all I have for you today. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next time here on Destination Begin.